Let's pray. Lord, you're going to do something great because you're a great God. And I just want to pray as Chad prayed. Whoever it is that needs this today, they would get it in the name of Jesus. Amen. They get it. Amen. Amen. Now, that prayer is going to connect with us that we get it today. I'm going to travel fast today. So I'm praying right now that God is going to give you a quick mind on a cloudy day. All right. That you go, okay, wait a minute. I got to decide what we're going to be about. Now go with me to the Gospel of John, 21st chapter, verse 15 and following. And we're gonna log on to this understanding. What do you do after Jesus has been resurrected? Which leads us to this question. How many of y'all have ever wondered this? Well, thank God I'm saved. Now what?
Come on.
What do you think, Frank? Now what? I've seen, now this is my observation. Y'all can get mad at me if you want to. It won't be the first time that's happened. I want to ask you a question. Is it important that the church be involved in what Jesus has called it to?
Very. That's it.
I would propose to you that one of the reasons you're hearing some of the social problems we have today is because the church has refused to engage in its mission. Now, I want to commend y'all. I think we're on our way, but we have not arrived, Bob. You know what I'm talking about? We're on our way, but we have not arrived. Hillview, don't ever get puffed up and say, hey, we got this thing mastered. I don't think you can ever master Jesus. You know, you'll never have a master's degree in Jesus. In fact, I hate the degree structure at seminary. I think seminary, you ought to get a degree in learning, and then you ought to have a degree in learning a little bit more, and then your final degree ought to be, I don't know as much as Jesus. That's what the degree ought to be. I think we've just done some things. We give everybody all this puffed up knowledge, and they think they can do it on their knowledge. Now, here's what I want you to know today. We're going to get real intensely purposeful of why in the world do we have church here at Hillview? Why do we come together in the church? What are the real issues of Jesus Christ? Because here's what I want you to know. Guess what? Every one of you who have received Jesus Christ into your life, you are very important. And I want you to follow me on this. After Jesus was resurrected, how many of y'all are glad to know Jesus came back to life? Isn't it? That's pretty good. So last week, guess what? Last week, everybody was here for the fireworks. How many of y'all have ever had July 4th? How many of y'all are really closet pyromaniacs? Most of the time this happens in dads. And man, you go down, you get a bunch of fireworks, and you blow up all these fireworks. Now, you'll get a lot of people over your house to see the show. Yeah? It's crowded at the resurrection. It's the call where the crowd gets a little few. Now, I want you all to be careful. I want you to learn something as a people. I want to dialogue with you. Please be very careful about getting caught up in crowd emotional moments. They have been deadly all through history. Does that make sense? Jesus never worked anybody up into a frenzy. He called them into a meaning. And I want to show you why. You have no idea what you're sitting by. Now, how many of y'all have said, you know what, Jesus Christ? I want you to be in my life. How many of y'all want Jesus Christ to be in your life? Hold on. You want Jesus Christ to be in your life. Coach Hayes, I got to get serious on this today. You know what I'm talking about, brother? I'm in the purpose of the church today. I'm in the reason that you and I take breath in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? I'm coming after today. Some of y'all may not come back. That's your choice. But I want you to know what's in you. Okay, how many of y'all are glad to know that you've received Christ? Okay, now it does two things. When you receive Christ, it gets rid of something. What does it get rid of? Somebody tell me. I'm teaching today, so I want you to talk. Okay, huh? Okay, it gets rid of sin. How many, look at your neighbor and say, Jesus has gotten rid of my sin. That would be true. Come on. So it no longer has to plague me. Come on, tell them. Y'all can't even tell it, much less live it. Come on. Tell it. I'm done. I've been forgiven. Absolution. You know what's really happened? You have been emancipated from your consequence of sin. You say, well, how in the world do you know that, preacher? Well, when Jesus died, he gave us the reality of our consequence. Sin is, follow me here. When he was risen from the dead, he declared God's possibility. You no longer have to be dead in sin, but you get to live on with God. You get to live outside of your sin. So two things happens. First, God forgives me all my sin. Look at your neighbor again and say, I have been made clean. Come on. See, you've been made clean. I've been made clean. Only by who, Mr. Carey? Only by who? Now, Judy, she can love you, but she can't clean you. Only Jesus. Now, y'all getting this? Katie, only Jesus can make you the most beautiful girl ever. No cosmetics, ladies, will make you as gorgeous as Jesus. Because when you let your inner beauty of Christ come on your outside, girl, you got it going on. Radiant, watch this. What do they call makeup? Cover. How many of y'all glad to know Jesus doesn't cover up, but he cleans out. He cleans out our sins. Now, since my sin is cleaned out, follow this. Now, what has entered into my life? Where's Jesus located? Yes, and where else? Where's Jesus located right now, according to the Scripture? In your heart and?
Your mind.
Where is the right hand of God? What is the area code of the right hand of God?
Heaven!
Now, Dale Brown, check this out. This is a fundamental, and unfortunately, our team last night forgot that fundamentals are important. Louisville lost last night. But let me help you. I think they lost to a very superior team. North Carolina. If you got to lose to somebody, it's better to lose from somebody to the south and somebody to the north. That's the way I look at it. Look. It's the fundamentals. This is a fundamental. Now, don't flinch, because you know what? I believe most followers of Christ don't realize this bit of information. If Jesus, what did he really do? He brought heaven to where? Hello? What's our job? Same thing. You've been cleaned. Bobby, most people don't get this. Our task, the purpose of the church, it's to go like this. There's some heaven. There's some heaven. Be careful, because heaven might come out of me. What do you think, Dr. Earl? Am I okay on this theology? Am I all right? Because
okay.
You've been around more than two decades.
Yes, sir.
Earl has examined the situation from World War II to the Iraqi conflict. And that's not a long time when you start looking through God's eyes. Here's what God says. I want heaven to be released out of my church. He said, well, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, here's how I know that. Because Jesus asked the disciples, when the disciples asked him, how do we pray? He said this, our Father who art in
heaven.
He said, first of all, you need to know the air code of what you're tapping into. You are no longer a people of earth alone. Now you're a people who have acquired heaven. You have the gift of heaven while you walk on earth. How many of y'all glad to know you are no longer one dimensional, but you're two dimensional? I would push it and say, really, you're three dimensional. You got what you want to do. You got what Jesus says do, and you have the capability of heaven. You can move. And I want the church to know this today. It's a simple message today that's the core fundamentals of Hillview. Heaven is in you. Now, I want you to really think about this. Mr. Wilson, because Jesus Christ is in you, sir, guess who your wife married? Heaven. You ought to tell her that in the morning. Baby, you married heaven. No, hold on. Hold on. What would happen? That's what I tell Elizabeth in the morning. You married heaven. She says, sometimes it feels like hell. No, hold on. But heaven is in heaven. It just Sheriff, you are walking around with heaven in you. What do you think about that? Chris Allen. When the weather ain't in you, heaven is still in you. What do you think about that? Give that forecast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm forecasting heaven coming out of me this morning. No, hold on. If we, I'm not giving you a jive here. I'm giving you truth here. Say, how you know this? Go with me to the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, 15 through 22. And I'm going to move on this because here's the thing. Jesus asked the disciple Peter three very important questions that activate the church. Now, why would he call on the disciple Peter? I think here's why. He had already told Peter, on this rock, I'll build my
church.
Yeah. You know, he told Peter, Jesus said, Peter, he said, Jesus, you're the Christ, remember? He said, you are the Son of God. You are the answer. You are heaven's reality. On this statement, profession, commitment, confession, I'm going to build my church. Now, who's he talking to? Peter. How many of y'all like the disciple Peter? I like him because I can relate to him because Peter says stuff that he really doesn't know about. How many of y'all have ever done that? How many of y'all have ever talked out of your head? Peter had that problem. How many of y'all have ever said you were going to do something? Now listen, I know what a lot of you do. You're politicians. You never admit you're wrong. By the way, I want to give you a very discerning thing. You always know you're around a deceived individual if they can't say, I'm sorry and I'm wrong. It's a problem we got in leadership today. We don't have anybody that'll do this. I'm wrong. I kind of respected that new governor in New York, didn't y'all? At least he didn't lie. The new governor, not, you know, you had the one, he, you know. And then he's going Old Testament, concubining. And then you had the other governor. Guess what? As soon as they inaugurated him, he said, boys, I just want to get it off right. He said, I've had an affair. My wife's had an affair, and we've messed up.
Come on.
I've never heard a politician tell the truth. And he even knew where his ears was located. He knew that was sex. And it was, guess what else he knew? It was wrong. I was so excited. I said, God, we got some help. We have a politician that understands what sex is, and we also have one that understands it's wrong outside of marriage. Oh, my God. Immoral in America. There's a new concept.
Come on.
Now, stay on our task. We're bringing heaven to what? You know what Peter's assignment was after the resurrection? To be reestablished, to bring heaven to earth. Look what happens. Jesus says, they had this great big, I'm going to really, is this my Bible, your Bible? Mine? Okay, great. Look what he says. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? First statement, you got to decide to love Jesus more than what else you got going on. Now here's what's the problem. They had just caught an abundance of fish. Well, hold on. This ain't just fish. What was fish to them? They were commercial fishermen. It's money! Come on, number one hang up in America. What do we love more than God?
Money.
Thank y'all for being so honest about it. Watch this. This week our young people spent a week in D.C. I spent a week in D.C. with them. We were on a mission with feeding poor people. I want to tell you something. I don't know why in America we should have one mouth unfed in the United States of America. Now, unlike some other reverends in this nation, I'll give you the real reason why. Because we're committed to the sin of greed and pride and arrogance and disregard. It's sin that kills people.
Amen.
And it always will kill people. I pointed out to our kids, we passed restaurants on the way to feed hungry people where it costs $200 to have a steak. Nothing wrong with that. But I think there is something tremendously wrong when it's $200 over this way and I can't buy a McDonald's hamburger over this way in a nation that's more than blessed. I think we're going to see some bad consequences of our life where we have a nation that could have fed hungry people and we have set aside food and not even grown it.
So, Pastor Steve, you don't understand economy. No, I've taken economics. I'm well aware of economy. But you know what amazes me is when I go from the economy side to the spiritual side, Jesus didn't call me to an economy. He called me to bring heaven to earth. Peter, do you love me more than your economy? Let's really be honest about it. We face that every day. Am I going to do what Jesus said, or am I going to do what I get paid? What's going to pay the best? To tell the truth, you don't always get paid well. What's this? Hillview, I tell you the truth, in our church right here, we could triple it, Dr. Cox, if I'd just calm down and preach an easy, watered-down gospel. It'd be full here, and it'd look like a circus show. You know, we'd have people come in, we'd have Ollie the trolley pick you up, and it'd have different Bible verses named on it. You'd come in, I'd pat you on the head, and I'd tell you almost what the Bible says, and we'd have a whole crowd full of people, and guess what? Everybody'd sit in the church and go, oh, I'm so blessed. I just feel so wonderful. Oh, God is moving. The Spirit's wonderful. I said, what's God's purpose in your life? Well, I don't know, but I feel wonderful. Let me tell you one thing God's purpose is. It's not to make you feel wonderful. And I don't want y'all ever breathing in that spiritual falsehood ever. And it's very popular in America. Because here's what I want to let you know. The kingdom of God is not about you. It is about the resurrected Jesus. And love is its oil that moves it. Peter, do you love me more than these? Guess what Peter answered? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Guess what he said? Feed my lambs. How many of y'all realize we're going to feed lambs? Now, I'm preaching to the choir a little bit here, and I want to thank y'all for being a great congregation, because guess what? Y'all are getting jazzed up about feeding lambs. Now, we're going to build them a barn, and then we're going to feed them till we get out of here. Amen? We've got pregnant women all over this church. Now, ladies, I'm all for you getting pregnant. Hallelujah. But can I give you a system? Get married first, pregnant second. Now, ladies, listen, I'm on your side. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm on your side. Men, don't you expect that kind of experience without opening your wallet. That'll tame your hormones. If you want that from her, it's going to cost you a diamond ring. It's going to cost you a house. It's going to cost you a decent car. Let me tell you what, men, the most expensive thing you'll ever have relationship with is called a woman. She's that valuable. Think about it. Let me tell you something about God. Hold on. Kelly, think about this. God chose to create us, and He chose in the woman to make her the carrier of life. God chose to even call His church a bride, not a groom. Because she also ought to be the carrier of what?
Life.
Makes sense? So men, y'all get that, amen? Now I know y'all going to say, Pastor Steve, it ain't popular to do that anymore. We all live together and we kind of need to see. I hear this in my office all the time. But we needed to have sex before we were married to see if it works. I want to clue y'all in on something. If you have a male and a female, all parts work.
Come on.
And you don't have to test them out. You say, you crazy. Pastor Ayers, you out of touch. Nobody does that anymore. So just because we had a majority of vote to all of us crash our lives, it doesn't make God's truth stand? No, God's truth still standing. I want the lambs to live a different life. I want to tell the lambs, man, get married. Stay married. It was pretty cool in D.C. Guess what? They got posters up that says, married people have a better income. Well, no kidding. Dale, they probably spent at Harvard a $10 million grant that could have fed $10 million worth of food to people that don't have any food to figure out that you have a better life if you stay married. They could have come to Hillview, given us $5 million, and we'd have told them that in 2 minutes. So here's what we got to get real. We got to start being the church. You know, I can't control what the world does, but I can tell you what Jesus wants us to do as the church. Jesus needs the church in America to start doing what he made her to do. And guess what he said? Go feed my lambs. Hillview, I want to thank you. We're on our way. We're going to feed lambs. Amen. We're going to raise up these babies. I'm excited about the children that are Hillview. I don't know what they're going to be. I don't care how they get here. When they get here, we're going to make sure they know Jesus. Amen. And now, watch, and some of y'all are going, well, you're picking on people that got pregnant before they're married. Don't run your jive up on me. I am a human being that came from a woman that got pregnant outside of marriage. God still redeems. But let's try to get it right as many times possible. Amen? And when we make a mistake, he'll correct it. But let's not just keep on doing wrong things expecting great blessings. Somebody's got to tell us the truth. Don't spit at grace. Follow it. Amen? I'm not worried about that. And some of y'all going, you mean you don't know who your mom is? I know who my mom is. I don't know who Pac-Man. But one day I'm going to meet her. I'm going to say, baby, you did a good job. You listened to God. Because if you raised me, I would have hurt you. Because you weren't old enough to handle what came out of you. Thank God. God packed me where he could position me, where I could make a difference. Hold on. He's doing the same thing for you. Right now, I'm telling you, every one of y'all's journeys, the hand of God's in it if you embrace it. Even Peter's journey. Where's God meeting Peter after his denial? He said, do you love me more than these, Peter? He said, Lord, you know that I love you. He asked him again, a second time. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my what? Write this down. People are important. Now look at your neighbor and say, you matter. Well, see, now only say this if you believe it. You matter more than money. If you don't believe it, just be quiet. Wow. How many of y'all want to live in some freedom? I'm about done. I mean, let's really live in some freedom, man. You matter more than that. Joe, you've lived long enough now, not that you're old. I'm just saying you're seasoned. Is that cool? Like a fine wine, you're cured with great flavor. Am I telling the truth? Amen. Here's all I know. I'm not old. But I'm coming on. That's what I tell you. I'm on my way. I'm on my way to being done. I'm at the middle. I hope I'm at the middle. People ask me, are you in middle age? I said, I don't know. I could be at the end. I don't know when middle age is because I don't know when the end is. I know I'm here and I know I got a purpose. And my purpose is to feed the lambs and take care of the sheep. Just like disciple Peter. That's the purpose of the church. People matter. Now, Hillview, you all do love people. There's no doubt. But here's what I'm telling you. I just want to remind you, this is what it's about. We ought to tell the story of Jesus to everybody. You say, Pastor Steve, you mean everybody? Even those people? Yes, those lambs. Take care of the sheep. Third thing he says. One more time he looks at him. Peter gets disturbed. Look what he says. Then a third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things and you know that I love you. Three times he confessed his love and Jesus reinstated him to his purpose. Now here's all I'm asking today, Hillview. We got to stay in our purpose. And that's to love what? God. With all our heart, soul, mind, and what? Body. That means we take everything that we are and we use it for Jesus. Now, here's what I'm telling you. I want you to get this. And I want you to start living this. Some of y'all live this way. Some of y'all are going, what are you talking about today, Rev? Heaven's got to come out of you. You really have a job. See, I think the problem is we've been sold a bill of goods that we're supposed to, you know, everybody's on their way to heaven. It's all this gospel music. The good ship, gospel ship's going to swoop down and get you. That's not Jesus' theology. That's yours. That's a bunch of American pie in the sky junk.
that somehow or another we're exempt from the rest of the world and the rest of the gospel. I want you to really look at Jesus. He brought heaven to where? And called forth heaven on. Where did Jesus resurrect? What resurrected him on earth?
Heaven.
Now you got it. What authority did Jesus come under? The authority of?
Heaven.
But where did he display that authority on?
Earth.
Why did Jesus say, when we pray, we ought to say, Our Father, who art in?
Heaven.
Give us this day our daily
bread.
Here on?
Earth.
And we ought to do things on earth as they are done? Why don't we do that? Dale, my brother and Lord, you're going to like this. Where did Jesus do His ministry?
Right here.
Dr. Earl, what would we call that? The public. Guess where Jesus did... Coach Hayes, guess where Jesus did His ministry? In public. What would Jesus say about a public school? He'd walk right on in. Say, how y'all doing today? What are you learning today? Glad to see you here today. I'm so glad. Now, I know some of y'all are going to write me 500 emails on this. But I am so glad that Jesus Christ has nothing in common with the philosophies nor the teachings of right-wing evangelical Christianity. Nothing. Jesus didn't go have a private cross in a private resurrection and some private followers. He did everything He did where? Right out in the public. He was crucified where? On a hill outside the city. He walked among the who? He didn't hide. You know why? He wasn't scared. Now, I'm not dogging private education. Please, hear me in order. Don't take things out of context. You've got to see what Jesus really did. Jesus did not back away from the world. He entered into it and brought heaven in it. And here's, I think the world's gotten so crazy for us, we want to do what with it? Huh? Come on, what do we want to do? We want to back away and go, oh, I would like to pray for all these poor people, these sinners who aren't in heaven. What does Jesus do? He said, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to feed the hungry. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to bring heaven to what? Earth. Make sense? Now guess what? I'm all for education. Please be educated. If you're in a private school, that's great. If you're being homeschooled, that's great. I'm not worried about where you're schooled. I'm worried about what you do after you're schooled. You got to bring heaven to earth. Does that make sense? Did everybody hear me clearly so I don't clog up the server? I'm not saying private Christian schools are bad. I'm just saying be careful about this mentality of hiding from the world, because I can't justify that biblically. Can you? It looks like to me that Jesus brought heaven into earth. He did not run from the sin of the world. And by the way, I just want you all to know, Rome had as many social sins as we got going on. And Jesus still said the same things. Isn't that interesting? And Jesus said, any person who believes in me shall be forgiven. Is that cool? Well, and He said, you know what? Feed the lambs. Take care of the children. Hillview, are we going to be a church that takes care of children? What do you think? Guys, all things go well. We're fixing to be in April next week. If we make it there, guess what? We're going to start putting up a lamb center. Is that cool? We're going to raise these babies. And guess what? I hope we raise these babies. I hope if I get to be old, I'm going to hobble around this church and go, man, I tell you what, these babies are doing some amazing things. In the name of Jesus Christ, they are bringing heaven onto this earth. Hallelujah. Now I want to give you three places, and I'm going to be quiet, that Jesus is guaranteed to show up. You ready? Number one, when you share the faith. Jesus said in the Great Commission, He said, man, you tell people what you've learned. You tell them how much I love them. You tell them I died on a cross. You tell them I've risen from the grave. You share my message to other people. And guess what He said? I'm going to show up. Lo, I'll be with you always. This is all in the Bible. That's where preachers ought to get their sermons. Number two, guess where Jesus said He'd show up? Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 and following. He said, when you do it to the least of me, these, you have done it unto me. You better take that literally. That's not figuratively speaking. No, he said, when you do it to the least of these, you do it directly unto me. Because why? Jesus wants to take people out of poverty and bring them into responsibility. Make sense? Number three. Jesus says, I inhabit the praises of my people. There's three locations I can guarantee you God shows up. You say, well, I don't feel like God's in my life. Good, then go share, go tell somebody about him. He'll show up. Go take care of the least of these. He'll show up. And guess what? Start praising him and he'll what? Show up. Now I got to tell you the last thing. Jesus will not accept your excuses. You know why we have a bunch of poverty? Because we don't have anybody bold enough to teach responsibility. You're going to hear this truth out of this pastor. I have never seen anybody poor that works. And at Hillview, we're on a whole different message. We're not here to feed you. We're here to teach you how to be fed. Stand you up, get you a job. We had the coolest experience this week in D.C. Guess what? We were working with homeless people that were getting jobs. We had a guy that really had a vision of Jesus Christ, really understood Jesus Christ. He just doesn't hand out food to people. Guess what? He hands out food to people. They start getting enough food in them. They start feeling better. They start working in the kitchen. They work in the kitchen long enough, they can become a sous chef. And guess what? They pay pretty good money for being a sous chef in a fancy restaurant. And then you're no longer living on the street, but you're starting to live a life. That's what Jesus wants his church to be about. Full-fledged, absolute redemption. Amen? Yeah. Now watch this. If you're going to follow Jesus, this is the last part of this sermon. Some of y'all are going to like it. Y'all may give you the magic bullet to make things happen? Guess what it is? Y'all don't want to hear it. Y'all don't want to hear it. Somebody might change. Y'all really want to hear his word? No, it's not obedience this time. You can't do this without obedience. This is a word that America hates to hear. You don't even want to hear it anymore. You ready? Work! Work! See, I can't go to work. Somebody owes me something. Well, you be hungry. We all got here. Watch this. Man, listen. If I looked at my life like some of y'all look at your lives, I can sing the same funeral dirge too. I could have all kinds of problems if I allowed myself to have all kinds of problems. Lord Dale, you all even got tests now that will verify I have a problem. Lord, don't y'all think I had attention deficit when we came through? We just didn't have attention deficit. We had a paddle. Anytime your attention deficit got you out of line, you went over to the principal's office and they went, in the name of Jesus. Whoa, yes, Lord. Then you walk back and you're healed. I got healed a lot in grade school. You know what? I'm glad somebody loved me enough to work on me. I'm glad I had a teacher said, I'm going to jerk you up by your ear till you learn to listen, because what I got to tell you is important. I'm glad I had a few preachers in my life that squared me off and said, this is what God said, and there's no compromise in what God said, and you must do what God said, because God is going to do a work in you. In fact, God is going to work heaven out of you so the world around you can change in the name of Jesus. That's the kingdom of God. Amen. You gotta work. And I know some of you are gonna go, well, I just don't believe it. I'm not coming back to this church. I want a church that tells me I can just stay where I am and God's gonna love me as I am. I'm just gonna sit here in all my sin and my suffering and my great hurts and never, man, that's the devil. I would never let the devil keep you in those chains. We got the Lord of heaven, and that's who rose up last Sunday. And he stepped out of that grave, and he said, Peter, do you love me? Said, yes, Lord. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Take care of my sheep. Peter,
Do you love me? He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And he gave him one word. You follow me. Guess what Peter did? Watch. See if it sounds for me. What about John? Y'all ever heard this one? Got more than one kid? You need to go to bed. How come Blake doesn't have to go to bed yet? Y'all ever heard that one at your house? How come Blake doesn't have to? Because he's in high school. I know what the next one's going to be. How come Blake got to stay out to 12 o'clock? Because he never dated a boy. That's why. Dad, y'all ought to be like that. I'm telling you, young man, you take my daughter out, you better know Jesus. Death is a possibility if you make a long rope. He'll forgive you. I'll hurt you. Ain't no nail holes in my wrist. No, but there's a spirit. I want to bring heaven in a situation. Y'all know I'm joking around. Does that make sense? Young ladies, bring heaven into this life. Young people, I'm glad you're here at Hillview. And I do not apologize for being passionate. I do not apologize for being direct. And I could care less if you got offended. Problem is, you have grown up with a bunch of stuff. I'm watching political parties that are so worried about pleasing people, they can't find the truth. And here's what I want you to know. The hero of this story, brother, is not Peter. It's who? Jesus. There's real truth in this Word of God. And it changes people, and you're a part of that change. So here's what I've tried to tell you today. Have you heard it? Red? Guess what I expect out of you. Even in high school. Who's inside of you, Red? I expect you to play football like Jesus would want you to. I expect you to study like Jesus would want you to. I expect you to date girls like Jesus would date girls. Is that all right? And don't tell me it can't be done. Because if you surrender to Jesus, He'll help you do it. He helped me do it. I said, Lord, I really want to. He said, yeah, I wanted to do a lot of things too that I didn't do. Like what, Lord? Like take you out, but I didn't. All right. He says, come on, folks, what's wrong with this life? That our young people would grow up, they would get married, they would love Jesus, they would work hard, they would have children, and they would pass that on and want the best of what Jesus could give human beings. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Well, why are we so against that? Why is that so offensive? Even if you messed up as an adult, don't you want your children to not have that? Watch this. Can I give you one? I'm going to shut up. I promise. In the name of Jesus. Here's one thing I wanted for my children, and still do. And I pray it every day. This may help you as parents. God, please don't let me raise my children. Because here's what I know. Steve Ayers will mess up another human being. But Lord Jesus, may your heaven and may your truth touch my kids greater than I have. Because that's all they're going to have when I'm gone. Man, you pray that on your kids. Does that make sense? Okay, we got any questions today? Guests, are y'all totally just, I'm not coming back? Has this been too strong? Because I don't apologize for it. In fact, we're going to start, Sheriff, we're going to start having ride-alongs with pastors. You can come hold hands with people that are dying of AIDS and tell me how sensitive to be. You come hear the cries of a teenage mom who's just aborted a child who will carry emotional scars for decades, and then come tell me how sensitive to be. You see, here's what I found. All you philosophical people that talk about all this stuff, Here's what I found. You've never engaged in it. It's real easy to talk about poverty when you've never handed a poor person any food. It's real easy to talk about your great passionate heart when you've never used it. But very few will do what Peter asked, what Jesus asked Peter to do. He said, come on, follow me. And it meant this far. And I think, man, can you imagine our church ever getting this attitude? I would rather die so people could see heaven than live so they might see me. I would rather die so that people might see heaven than live so people might see me. You know what our problem is? We all about me. Go look at the bookstore. The number one sellers are self-help. Maybe if you got heaven inside of you, you'd get over yourself and it wouldn't need any more help. Because now you'd be living out the purposes of who? Jesus. All right. I'm officially finished. And I don't know what God's going to do unofficially. Amen. I want y'all to give God a hand because He's actually doing great things in your church. Amen. Now we got to get on it. How many of y'all need somebody that needs to hear the heaven inside of you? Okay, I want you to start bringing them to church. Am I going to preach hard? Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to tell you the truth. We got some crazy things going on in our nation. Are you all alert to that? Are y'all alert to that? There could be some real dangerous things take place. Now here's what the church usually does when things start going on. You ready? Watch. Here's the way we preach it, tough stuff.
Well, there's a few problems out there. I don't want to offend anybody, but these things are really hurting us real bad. Okay? I think we got to get attitude. Guess what? Jesus wants you to work. We work at Hillview. We work with Jesus. What did Jesus do when He was here? Worked. Won't hurt you. Amen? If you're going to be a great school teacher, guess what you got to do? You got to work at it. Kids are, they'll wear you out. You got to work. You got to work at everything we do. Watch this. Look at all the things that will be going on this week. And guess what they got to be doing? Bringing heaven what? Forth. So here's the prayer today, man. Some of you are going to get saved today. And I'm so glad you're going to join the kingdom of heaven. It's so cool. How many of y'all glad to know some of y'all are going to walk out of here going, I am clean, finally. Got a bath in Jesus. So today, here's what I'm going to ask you. If you've never asked Jesus to come in your life, you must ask Jesus to come in your life to be saved. You say, well, what if I don't do that? You will go to hell. You go, well, Pastor Harris, I do not intellectually believe in a hell. Well, good. You can sit down there and think about it while you're in hell. What are you going to do? Excuse me, devil, sir. I can't enter into the kingdom of hell because I didn't believe you existed. And I went to Harvard. He'll go, no problem. I ran Harvard for years. No problem. What language would you like me to speak in? What philosophical concept would you like me to create for you? The only reality I was trying to keep you away from is the one that would absolutely change everything in your existence. You are a sinner. And without Jesus, you belong to me, says the devil. And in Christ, I can't touch you. Wow. Follow me. The realm of hell can never touch what? Heaven. You know how I know? I went to Easter last week. In hell with all of its fury. Guess what? The devil did all he could do. Oh, I got to preach for just a second, Chad. The devil did all he could do. He killed Jesus. And 3 days later, guess what God said to hell? I am back. And then guess what He says to us? Since you got heaven in you, bring it on forth. Amen. Y'all got any questions? What are you going to do this week?
Good. Hey, at least that's one accomplishment this morning. Whoever you're working with will really be glad for that. I hope that wasn't new information for a lot of you. Some of you are going, Jay, you know, I really ought to go to work. They'd probably pay me. Lord, I can make a payment then. We're really confused about this. Seriously, any questions? We're in this thing together. Thank you guys for being a beautiful church. Thank you young people for being here. You students for being here. I don't know what God's going to do with all you guys, man, but you probably get to hang out here for 4 years and God's going to send you to places like L.A. and California and Texas. And, you know, one day I'm going to turn on the news and there you'll be. And we might even have a cool newscasters that go like, problem is, y'all need to go to work.
Come on.
I'd love to hear that on ABC. In fact, Clacy was listening to me. We were listening to some stuff on the news, and she was so funny. I said, Clacy, I said, do you think I could ever make it in politics? She said, oh, Lord, no, Dad. They'd kill you. And I said, why would they kill me? She said, you tell the real truth. I said, you can detect that as a 13-year-old or 14-year-old, however old you are. Of course, you know how adolescent. She said, Dad, I'm 14 and will be 15 May the 7th. I look good. You still ain't driving. And you know what she told me? I said, there's truth, isn't it? She said, Dad, it is true. It's true. She said, you do the right things. You do good things. You follow Jesus Christ. You have a better life. Now, if she can pick that up in 15 years of breathing air, don't you think the rest of us can share that after breathing air a lot longer than that? Come on, church. Some of you need Jesus today. Don't put it off today. Some of you need to be baptized. That's stepping up. Oh, by the way, you know when Peter said, what about John? Guess what Jesus said? This is a paraphrase. He said, that's none of your business. You follow me. You know what some of y'all are waiting on? I hear this all the time. Well, I can't go to Hillview. I know so-and-so there, and they hadn't changed. That's none of your business. Your business is, have you changed? And if you notice, Jesus didn't ask, Peter, do you universally love me as a human being? He said, Peter, do you love me? Not do these disciples love me. Do you? God can change things in people's lives. And right now, He has the opportunity to do that. I hope everybody here gets saved. Amen? We're at war right now. Right now in this moment. Y'all realize that? As we step into the altar, guess what the old devil's going to do? Don't listen. Devil just a little low. It gets in people's head. You'll never change. I want you to know that you don't have to be on drugs any longer. I want you to know you don't have to keep worrying about that marriage. Guys, listen. Here's the secret to marriage. Don't quit. You go, Pastor Steve, I don't like them. They don't like you either, but let's hang in there together. And God will make it better in a moment. Amen? So it'll never happen in my marriage. Well, guess what? What if it does? Let's stand together. Come on. Somebody's going to come to know Christ right now, guys. You ready? Let's pray together. There's a human being in here that needs to come to know Christ. I know there is. Several of them. Why don't you come today and be set free? How many of you others who follow Jesus? I don't care where you go to church, but I'm talking about follow Jesus, man. How many of y'all need to come today and say, God, you've reminded me. John, when you're out there fishing, guess what you're doing? Check it out. You casting forth heaven. Because you might meet another fisherman and say, John, where you been on Sunday morning tournaments? Oh, man, I'm following Jesus. I worship on Sunday. Really? Yeah, come with me. You might get saved. In fact, Jesus even catches fish. I heard about it on Sunday morning. Pray with me right now. Lord, how beautiful you have made us all. Hallelujah. Praise be to the King. And God, right now, there are human beings in this house. They are poor because they have not asked you into their life yet. So we pray right now by the power of Jesus through the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, because God has created and made us all. We pray right now. My friend, if you've never asked Christ into your life and you just know God wants you to right now, ask Him. Here's the way you testify, Lord Jesus. I have sinned. I'm aware of that. And I'm sorry for that. Lord, right now I ask you to come into my life.
Because I do believe you died for me and you would live in me and I would be a part of heaven. Just like that crazy preacher said today. Lord, come into my life. Some of you need to do that today. Some of you have already done that this week and you need to be baptized. You say, Pastor, why should we be baptized? This is my best reason. Jesus told us to be. I'm just going to do what Jesus tells me. So get that done. Let's talk about it and get it done. Come on, guys. It's out of the box. Ain't nobody taking it back. God loves us. It's going to change us forever, no matter what. Come on. Well, here's the opportunity this morning. You ready? This altar's open. So let's come and pray and worship and love and talk and bless one another in the reality of Jesus. Somebody, Mark's going to come to know Christ. A lot of people are going to get healed. Some are going to come for being baptized, but right now in the name of Jesus, y'all come. Amen. How you doing, sweetheart? Come on. It's open. Come on. Don't stand there. Come on. You can clap, but come on. Come on. Come on.